rest of us, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We'll be beginning our series, as I've already mentioned, a series of preaching through Hebrews, which will be the theme will be the supremacy of God that we'll see come out time and time again. It's a unique book, a great book, as I've studied, already been studying in it. It's one of those a lot of theologians debate over. You say, what do they debate over? Well, they debate over the author. Who wrote it? Unidentified author, unidentified destination. That just man, James was talking about how educated that we get in Sunday school. And it's a good thing to be educated, but not to the point that it takes us away from what it is. The reason that we have any kind of intelligence at all is because of God, our Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But they debate. It's okay to debate over these things. I got fascinated when I was in college, undergrad, and graduate work for how these guys would sit around and they wanted to argue and debate. I got caught up in that. I enjoyed it a little bit. Then I realized, though, you know what? We were wasting a whole lot of time debating over things instead of out sharing the gospel, which that's why we should be there. And if we're not careful, that's what we'll do. We'll get so intelligent we want to debate over theology instead of putting theology in a shoe leather, getting outside these walls and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very important. Theology is important. And so when we see this, we see an unidentified author. We see an unidentified destination. We do know that it was written to the Hebrews. What Hebrews? That would be Jewish believers that came to know Jesus Christ. Can you imagine coming from that system of Judaism, receiving Christ as your Savior, and the persecution that would happen from your own family, from your own people that you had grew up with, from your own culture, your own ethnic group? They were under intense persecution, and so we do know that during this time, especially in the New Testament time, there was a whole group of what they called Judaizers that wanted to go around to each church, and they were always telling them, hey, you can have Judaism in Christ too. Listen, I want you to understand something this morning. Hear this. Christ plus anything equals nothing. You don't need anything. It's Christ. And Paul's going to show them that. He's going to use this great book to do that. He's going to take the Old Testament, make it come alive. The Old Testament, we're going to see that. Guess what? God wrote the Old Testament too. Can anybody say amen? But the Old Testament was pointing to the new time that you live in. The time of Christ that He's came. The two comings. As we talk, I can't get over that. The time frame that we live in and how awesome that it is. And I realize the world's full of darkness and all these things go on. But you live in one of the most magnificent times of all history, between the two comings of Jesus Christ. He could come anytime, folks. It doesn't matter how cold it is. He's not going to wait till a 70-degree day where everybody's happy. He's not controlled by those things. You ever notice how fickle we are? In the summertime, we'll say, boy, I wish it was cooler. How's that working today? That's just us, isn't it? That's how we are as humans. We're fickle. God's not fickle. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so Paul's going to take this great book, and we don't know the author. Guess what? We do know the author this morning. God wrote it. Can anybody say amen? We don't know who he used or the human instrument, but God wrote it through the inspiration. We know that Paul tells Timothy that all Scripture is inspired by God. We know that 1 Peter, Peter says, listen, the holy men of God were moved along by the Holy Spirit to pen this awesome book. There's no other book like it in the world, by the way. Stood the time, test of time. Still here today and will be forevermore. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, will be throughout eternity. 2018 ought to be a year that we purpose to know more of it, to grow in it, to learn in it, to grow in its knowledge. And so we see that these believers are having, these Jewish believers that are under this intense persecution are struggling with drifting. You ever struggle with drifting? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Boy, this world is so intense, isn't it? It's easy to drift. It's easy to question, to scratch our head and say, well, you know what? Here's what we like to do. We like to do the blank check mentality of Christianity. Oh, I'm forgiven. It doesn't matter. If that's your Christianity, my friend, you better check. God didn't give us a blank check to live any old way we want to. Because we're under the blood of Christ. But because we're under the blood of Christ, we are to live by His standard and by His word. Sunday, thank you for that Sunday school. Like, God always puts things together, and it's amazing. But listen, we are educated, we're learned, we're so knowledgeable today. I want you to think about a physician, a doctor. He knows more about our bodies than we do, does he not? We say, praise the Lord, we hope he does, don't we? That knowledge that he has affects his entire life, does it not? He doesn't look at things the same as you and I do. The same is true of builders, a carpenter, anything you can think about. Even, hey, farmers, the knowledge that we have, it affects the way that we look at life. We look at life differently. Listen, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of knowing Christ and understanding him more, it should affect our life, should it not? In fact, it doesn't affect our life. It should transform our lives. And so we need to know and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the only thing that transforms us. Other things affect us, but he transforms us. And the answer to life's questions are found within the pages of this blessed book. God, the God who speaks. Aren't you glad that we don't believe like the deist? The deist says, hey, yes, there was a God. He created it all. He wound it up, turned it loose. You don't have anything to do with it now. That's a sad God, ain't it? I would hate to think that. Aren't you glad that we have a God that's, hey, he's wholly other, he's far above our words, that we can even sit here, we'll spend the next 35, 40 minutes trying to make much of him, and our words don't even come close to what he is. And yet, he's imminent in every life here. He wants to be in a personal relationship with each and every one of us, and he wants to come in and transform our lives, make a difference in our life. That's the God we serve. He speaks. He's not silent. Francis Schaeffer wrote a book, great book. There is a God. He's not silent. He's not silent by no means. People say, well, I just want to hear from God. Are you not listening? What ears are you using? Jesus said, and he kept saying, he who has ears, let him hear. Do you remember that? Do you remember he kept saying it? What was he trying to say? You've got to be listening with the right ear if you want to hear him. He speaks. He's not silent. He's not quiet by any means. And I want us to think about, as we get into this great book and we start, these first few verses, this first chapter is just like, it's deep and it's got so much profound stuff. We could spend much time in it, but listen, in the first two verses, he's going to give you the whole thesis statement for the rest of the book. This author God used to write this great book. I want us to think about the God who speaks this morning in just 2 points. First is, he speaks through his word. First, let's read. Let's stand in reverence to reading. I'm so excited. I'm getting ahead of myself. Y'all were waiting now. When's he going to read? When's he going to make us stand up and read God's word? Listen, if you don't have a copy, there's a copy in front of you. Use it. Pull it up on your phone. Whatever you need to use, you pull that up. You, God's word, don't listen to a man that stands up here with fallible words. But listen to God's word. Open it as we open it and read it. Keep me accountable to make sure that I'm preaching from it, that I'm preaching you the full and errant word of God. That's your place to do that. And so the word of God in Hebrews 1, chapter 1, and we'll be looking at 1 through 3 this morning. Look what it says. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the Father by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, let your word go forth. Touch our hearts here, 2018. God, a brand new year, the beginning of a brand new year, first Sunday, and beginning a new book. Touch our hearts for your glory, that we don't ever be the same when we leave here. And Lord, I promise you, we'll give you the praise. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want you to see, first of all, and very importantly, that we see that God, he speaks through his word. Look at what verse 1 says. What does it say? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophet. I want us to think. Now, the first two verses, like I said, they're the thesis statement for the whole book that you'll see. It comes out time and time again. You're going to see that this author is going to make sure that the Jews understand that there's nothing, that Christ is supreme. He's above everything. everything else. He's above the law. He's above Moses. He's above the angels. He's above all these things. Christ is supreme. And so when he gets this and he's speaking, please don't miss this. Because if we're not careful, we'll overlook the very first word. What is the very first word that you see there in Hebrews 1:1? God. God. God is assumed. We live in a world where God is not assumed, where you have to prove the existence of God. The Bible never does that. Think about Genesis 1:1. We learn that. We teach our kids, what does it say? In the beginning, what does it say? God created the heavens and earth. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible, it doesn't prove, it doesn't have to prove the existence of God. Why? He doesn't have to be proved. Today you have to, how do you know there's a God? How do you know there's not one? I know there's one because I breathe, I live, I see Him in His creation. I experience Him and hear Him in His Word. He saved me from my sins and made me into something I could never be. Why? Because He's God. And He is. So He's assumed, we see. But not only is He assumed, but He's audible. What are you talking about? What does it say? Who at various times, right? And what? And in various ways, what does it say? Spoke. He's not a silent God. He spoke. What do you mean? Who at various times, here a little, there a little, and in various ways, there's, think about it, 39 books in the Old Testament written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors. 1,500 years? What would that be taken from 2018? What, 570 or something? Look, that's how long. It was written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors, 39 books. How is that not a mess? Huh? Because they had one author. It was God. And He was speaking. He was speaking to man. He was making Himself known to man by what? By His Word. Think about how He spoke to man. Come on. You remember the Exodus? They're not there like He thundered, man, the thunders of Sinai. They got to where they, what did they put their hand on? They can't take it, Moses. You talk to him. He spoke through the thunders of Sinai. And yet when Elijah was on the mountain, he had run from Jezebel, you remember, and God takes him out on the mountain, shows him the great earthquake and the great wind and fire, and God's not in him. And then what did he speak? In a still, small voice. The thunders of Sinai to a still, small voice. God was speaking. I want you to know He speaks today. My child was born in that room. The presence of God was so real. He spoke through His Word, and I understood that He was the beginning of all things. He was author of all life. His presence was so real that the nurse got up and testified. During the delivery, can you experience God in a natural birth? Every one of them, why? Because He's God, and He gives us life. And yet, 3 months later, October 10th, 1993, as I stared my dad's last breath in his face and I saw death and the ugliness of death. 3 months, life and death. He spoke. He spoke. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. He speaks. He's there, God. Listen, people, God is so real in our lives. He's there with us every day. And it's only a fool that says in his heart, there is no God. He's audible. He's everywhere around us. Various ways, many ways. Think about the Old Testament. Law, prophecy, warnings, proverbs, songs. He's speaking. How? What does it say? By the prophets. He used men like Daniel and David and Jeremiah and Isaiah, Micah, Hosea, Malachi, Zephaniah. He used these men of God, these prophets, to speak His Word, and He still speaks to us today, 2018, through it. Throughout time, God's spoken to man. He created in us a void. man is born with that void. You hear that many times, but it's the only way to make sense of our world if you think about it. He creates this vacuum, this void, that because of sin and our separation from God, we are longing and we're hoping and we're looking for something to fulfill that void that only He can fill. So what does man do? Man will create his own religion, won't he? He'll create something else to try to fill that void. He tries to reach up to God. That's what human religion is. It's always trying to reach up to this God because why? I'm going to try to get this. I want to get this across. Because you've heard me talk about it, and you hear me talk about time so much. That box of time and space that man lives in, that environment that he lives in, outside of that box is the supernatural. That's where God is. And we know, every man knows it, there's that supernatural there, but he don't know how to deal with it. And so what he'll do is he'll create a way of trying to chisel outside that box, trying to get to this God that's out there, that's supernatural, that he don't understand. Listen, salvation is God becoming into the box. Come on, it's totally different. What we couldn't do, what man could never do, he couldn't reach God. God does through Christ, through sin in Christ. He reaches down into the box of time and space. Actually, God comes into our place, doesn't he? What we just celebrated with some of the decorations still around. The incarnation of God through Christ. He wrote this great word, and he's showing us, as intelligent human beings, we're unable to reach Him. Only He can reveal to us what's needed. Only He can reveal Himself. God must tell us. God has revealed Himself through the Word. Through what? Progressive revelation. If you read, and you start at Genesis, and I hope that some of us are reading through the Scriptures. We need to read. 2018, we're so biblically illiterate. We need to know God's Word more. You say, how? I read it, it's like Chinese. Listen, you keep reading it. Find your translation. Do whatever it takes that you can understand His Word. Do not be shackled by the traditions of men. Find God in His Word. He speaks. And He'll speak to you through it. Through Genesis, man, from the very beginning. You remember Genesis 3:15 where He says, hey, the seed of the woman, Christ is on His way, and from there on you can track Him. It's all about Christ, the Old Testament. Take a gospel center hermeneutic into it. Read through it. Find Christ in the Old Testament. Wow, that's what it's about. It's pointing to His coming. He's coming. He speaks. The progressive revelation of the Old Testament builds and grows, and truth upon truth, but remained incomplete until what? Till the New Testament. When it was finished. The Old Testament was the promise. The New Testament was its fulfillment. If we look at it, we see that. We see God, who in times past, He spoke this way through 40 different authors over 1,500 years and 39 different books. That's only God can do that, that there's any cohesiveness at all. The writer of Hebrews tells us that God has given us revelation through the Old Testament prophets. Through this progressive revelation, we see the unfolding of God's truth. He speaks through His Word. But next, He speaks through His Son. Look what verses 2 and 3 say. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, who being the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The author of Hebrews is saying, you know what? God spoke this way in the past, but guess what? In your day, in my day, He spoke in His greatest revelation through His what? Through His Son. We don't need, that's why the canon of Scripture's closed. We don't need more Scripture. Why? It's complete in Christ. He affirmed both the old and the new. I like in this. God wrote both of them. He affirms it. God spoke in the old. He speaks in the new. Christ is the final word of the prophets. His presence is the completing of the prophecies that were prophesied. Remember, Micah said he'd be born what? In Bethlehem. Where was he born? Isaiah said he'd be a suffering servant. Did Christ suffer? It's all throughout. We see he's the completion of the prophecies that God had given. God's full, perfect revelation awaited the coming of his Son. He spoke in many different ways, many different people. He finally spoken in one way through one person, his Son, Jesus Christ. The completion of everything else. And I like what he says. What does he say? In these last days. What's he talking about there? And I don't remember who he's writing to. This people that had come from Judaism, they knew that word, the last days, was a messianic title. It was a distinctive meaning to them. What was it? Messiah's, he's coming. The author of Hebrews is letting them know that he has come. When they heard it, they immediately knew what he meant by the last days. I want you to know today, everybody listening, shake your head. Listen. Yeah. You're living in the last days. You've heard that. It's confirmed. What are the last days? Christ came, gave his life on Calvary, died, was buried, rose again on the third day. That started the last days. How long is that time frame? I don't know. If I told you, you need to run me out the back door. No man knows. But you're living in the last days. How you doing in the last days? Are you living like it's the last days? Because when we come to the end of our life, I've noticed these things going through and being involved with people that have passed on, that it becomes very focused. When we're younger, it's kind of spread out. We have all these things that we feel like so important. But when you get to the end, it's amazing how it gets so simple. And we're to live like it's our last days. This fluff that goes around us, here's the focus, and that's Christ. He's coming again. God's spoken through him, the last days. He's coming again. All those that received him will live with him in eternity because of his sacrifice on the cross. All those that have rejected him will spend eternity separated from him in a place called hell. That's pretty focused, ain't it? But yet that's all that matters when it comes to the end. In these promised last days, Jesus Christ has come and has spoken the final revelation of God. It is complete. Remember on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. It is finished. What's he talking about? It's complete. Salvation is complete. We don't need any more spoken to us. Christ has fulfilled everything. The Old Testaments were written for the New Testament's completion. Christ is supreme over the Old Testament, over its message, its methods, its messenger. It was just what the Hebrews needed to hear. They were struggling. Remember, they were under persecution for their faith. There will be some unbelievers that we see coming out of that Judaistic background that we'll see it touched on as we go through the book also. God has fully expressed himself in Christ. John 1:14, we know it. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what John said about Jesus. Old Testament, Jesus is concealed, but in the New Testament, he's revealed. And what does it say about, in these short verses here, what does it say about this Jesus, this Son of God that was revealed? Hold on. Look what it says. How does it describe him? First it says what? Heir of all things. He's heir. Of what? All things. Not some things. All. He inherited it all. He's the Son. He's heir of all of God's promises. He inherited a right to be the Lord of all things. The world in its entirety has been given to him as his executor of divine will. He is coming back to enforce every clause. If you look in Revelation chapter 5, and when all in heaven now, when the scrolls were given out, and nobody was worthy to open the scrolls, if you remember what John said, I wept. Why did he weep? Because nobody was worthy to take the scrolls out of God's hand. And then what did somebody say? Hold on just a minute, John. there in the midst was a lamb as if it had been slain, who said he was worthy and took the scrolls. He inherited it all. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He will come back and he will take what is his. Do you hear me? He's heir of all things. And then look, he's creator. Not just heir, but creator. Look what the next thing. Through him, also he made the worlds. He's creator. John 1:3 said, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. And it goes on to say, those are the things that you can see and the things you can't see. Christ created it. And then I love at the end of it, it says, all things were created through him and for him. He's the end result of everything, too. It's all working towards Christ. Boy, you don't hear that preached a whole lot. He created it, and it's all working towards him. Say, so sure don't look like it today, Dave. Doesn't matter what it looks like. The Word says so. And in the end, it will be fulfilled. You were made. Listen to this now. If it's made for him, that means you were made for him. Understand, 2018. Right here, this first Sunday. You will never be fulfilled until you understand that and grasp that. You were made for him. You get out here in this world, you search and you try. You try to make all the money you can. You try to have all the fun you can, and you're never fulfilled. Why? You were made for him. Until you get that and grasp that, and you come under his lordship, you will never have the fulfillment that you are searching for. Oh, you can have some fun, but you'll never be fulfilled. And the joy will never be in your life. He's saying, man, he was creator. He created it all. Listen to the next one. Who being the brightness of his glory. He's the glorifier. What's he talking about? The glory of God. Just like the rays of the sun express the sun, but we like it when the rays of the sun are out, right? Anybody say amen? It's 93 million miles away, and I can get some warmth off of it when it's 4 degrees outside and the wind ain't blowing. I can feel the rays. Now, are the rays the sun? No, but they express the sun, don't they? He's the glorifier of the sun. Jesus Christ expresses the Father. He expresses God to us, made known to us. God's made known to us through Christ. He's the glorifier. But not only that, he's the sustainer. Hey, listen, or the imager, I'm sorry, that's next, I'm getting ahead of myself. And the expressed image of his person. He's not only expresses God as creator, his character, his nature, his substance, but an imprint is stamped on a seal. Whatever is on the print is on the seal as well. John 14:9 says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you? He's talking to Philip. You remember that in John 14? Have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen who? The Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Philip said, just show us the Father. He said, hey, standing here in front of you. He's the image. He's the imager of God to us. We don't have to scratch our head. Well, what God's like, just look at Jesus. That's why he came. He's a sustainer. He not only does he create it, but he's the sustainer of everything. This blows my mind. I know he created it all, and we see it. But you know there's a force that keeps it all there. Does everybody understand that? We've talked about this. If there wasn't any gravity, where would we be? Lord, we'd be flying around everywhere. We'd be dead is what we would. Think about that. You got the perfect tilt. You got the moon at the perfect distance. You got all these things that are in perfect place to keep life and keep it in existence, and we want to chalk it up to some scientific idea why it's there. The randomness of that is astronomical. It takes more faith to believe that than our Creator. Christ created it. He sustains it. He keeps the atoms together. He keeps everything. Ooh, I really liked that last breath. Did you not? Take you a big, deep breath. Thank you, Jesus. sustains it. He makes photosynthesis. They need a lot of leaves right now, but guess what? They take in the carbon and put off oxygen so that you can breathe. Aren't you glad? He's a sustainer. He holds the atoms together. You've heard me talk about those molecules, the protons and the neutrons, and they can't figure out how in the world they stay together. Read. Your scientific mind can't grasp it. It's right here in front of us. He holds it all together. The scriptures tells us, but man is so intelligent, we cannot grasp that. We don't want that. We want to come up with our own way of figuring it out, don't we? Oh, don't miss the next one. He's Savior. This creator, this heir, this glorifier, this imager of the Almighty God, this sustainer of the universe, is our, look what it says. He said, when he had himself purged our sins. Sins what? Past, present, future. You struggling with something from the past? Blood of Christ can cleanse you. You struggling with sin right now? Something that's got a stronghold in your life? Christ can deliver you from it. What about those in the future? Anybody here that's not going to sin from now on, please raise your hand. We'll bring you up front for an example. Me standing here sure ain't one. Takes care of that too. Past, present, future. Sins. He sat down. I love this. Look, Jesus went to the cross, died our deserved death for us, took the penalty of our sin upon himself, and if we will accept his death and believe that he died for us, he will free us from the penalty of sin and purify us from the stain of sin in our life. Listen. That's a great offer here. 2018. It still works. Why? It's the only way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. God, what man could never do. What about this religion? Could never do. Reaching up, trying to get to God. Never see the fulfillment. God did by sending His Son, our Savior. Don't miss the last one. What does it say? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, our priest and our sacrifice. The Old Testament never had one of those, by the way. What did they do? They always went in. They never had a seat. They never sat down. In fact, if you read tradition, they had bells around their hem. Look, and they'd hear them working there. Why? Nobody else could go in there. Only once. One time a year with the blood that's offered. Can you imagine that high priest? And you're thinking, I hope I've took care of everything, because not, I'm struck down before a holy God. He didn't have a chair in there. He went in there one purpose. That was to worship, to pour the blood, to make atonement for the people and himself. Didn't have a chair. He was to stay busy. Look at our priest. Sat down. Why? He don't need to go back in there every year. Once and for all. We'll see that come out through this great book. Their work was never complete, but Christ was. See, most of the time we get caught up in what we can do. How can we be better? We need to feel like we do. Christianity is done. It's already finished. You just need to live and work out what Christ has done for you. You don't have to earn His love. You don't have to earn His salvation. It's complete. Sit down. It's right. But, hey, don't miss this. Hey, it's finished, but look what is He doing there at the right hand? You remember Romans? We just finished Romans not too long ago. It might seem like it's been a long time. It's not. 8:34 said, listen to this, Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Listen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Woo! Listen, he saved me. He also sits at the right hand of God. You know what? When I mess up, and I do, when I slip, and I do, you know what? I ask God to forgive me. You know what Jesus said? That's one of mine. Satan can't have him. He's covered by the blood. Can't nothing get under the blood, can he? Well, I feel like the devil. Listen, the devil comes under the blood. That's the same devil. Ain't no such a thing. He can't get you. It's us. And we work. He's making intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Get that picture this morning. He's our priest. He's our priest. prophet. He's making intercessions for our sins, and he's the mighty king who rules over heaven and earth. Philippians 2 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow, period. I don't know about you, but I just soon bow it today. Not wait till then. What about you this morning? Linda, come play. Our applications and we'll be done. Number one, are you listening to God speaking in His Word? Let me ask you something. If we understand, we saw through the writing of it, God's written this, right? Do we all agree? This is God's Word. He inspired it. It's infallible. There's no errors in it. This is God's Word. Then are we reading it? Are you doing the same thing you did 2017? Are you making excuses? Are you listening to God speak in His Word? He can speak to you. He might have spoke to you this morning. Are you lost? He'll speak to you if you'll listen. Number two, what will you purpose to do differently in 2018? Not only just reading His Word, but how about living out His Word? We need a broken heart for our nation and our community and the lost people around us that we just don't have. Let's be honest. We need to quit being satisfied. Are we satisfied with the way that we are? Can anybody say that? That don't need to grow in grace? Are we say, well, we'd never say that, but we show it in our actions by never changing, never trying to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we show it. Lastly, how is God speaking to you? Let's all stand to our feet. How's He speaking to you this morning? I want you to know, if you're lost here, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, He's probably working, thumping on you pretty good right now. And you're in your head, you're questioning things, you're making all these excuses, you're thinking this and that, and you're thinking, oh, that sounds really good, preacher, but I'll get out of here in a minute and I won't be bothered with it anymore. Ooh, that's a dangerous place to be. If you need Christ, you come forward. Everybody bow your heads. You come forward and you receive Jesus. Why? It's the only thing that's going to bring you fulfillment today. You might be that person that's been searching for that fulfillment in all the things of the world, but you know you're missing it. You know you're missing the peace. There's something missing. Could be Christ. What about you this year? Are you just gonna purpose to keep doing what you did in 2017? You're just happy. You never say, well, I'm happy right where I'm at. I don't want to grow. And you might not ever verbalize that, but here's the deal. Will you really say to yourself before God, God, I want to grow. I want to know you more. I want to learn more of the things of God. I want to grow in Christ and the knowledge of Christ. I want to reach people for Christ. I want to tell them about this Savior that came for me that I'm just so caught up, I'm just doing life. I need to say, God, today, 2018, I want to grow. I want to have a heart like Jesus. I want to reach the people for Christ. I want to invite people to church. I want to get excited about the things of God. How has God spoken to you? Just going to give a few minutes. People are praying. How about you? You going to start 2018? Same way you did 2017? It's up to you. Philip, you and Cindy come forward, please. Well, we got a couple here that's wanting to join our church this morning. Philip and Cindy Kissinger. Talk to them both. They know Christ is their Savior. Got a heart to serve Him. Philip works for Samaritan's Purse around in Puerto Rico last little bit. Cindy works there too. And they want to come and be a part of our local body. I guess you're coming through letter, through church, and didn't ask you that, I'm sorry, through letter, and so what's the pleasure of the church that we accept them into our fellowship? Amen. Any Any opposed? Thank you. Listen, we also, Clint last week, he got baptized, and we need to make sure, I ain't going to bring him forward because I know I don't want to embarrass him, but he baptized, he joined the church through baptism, and so do we accept his membership through baptism, Clint Simmons. Amen. Okay. We'll make sure to do that. Well, we're going to go back to the door. Listen, what are you going to do different 2018? It'll be 2019 before you know it. Are we going to keep on doing the same old way? Invite somebody to church. Tell them about Christ. Make much of Christ every day, and God will give you appointments. He'll make sure that you intersect with people in your life to share Christ about. We're going to go back to the door. Give them a right hand of fellowship, and I love you. Listen, Lee, pray for us. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock, Brotherhood, Women's, and the children, the Kingdom Kids.